This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. This is the sound of the San Antonio Police Training Academy.
Rob Henderson. I have to say this today. James Herrera.
Here.
Okay. And Matthew Heitman. Welcome to the show.
That's roll call at the San Antonio Police Department's Training Academy, which is unlike any other police academy in the United States. There are rigorous academics and physical fitness standards. You'll see that anywhere. But here there are special challenges for the cadets that will test their mettle. For 1 year, Emmy Eaton and Lisa Krantz of the San Antonio Express News followed 38 cadets as they worked through the academy to become officers. And they're with us today, along with SAPD Sergeant Tina Barron. If you got questions or comments about the police academy process, give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org and tweet at us at tprsource. And welcome. Great to have you here. So tell me about this assignment when you said this is what you follow these cadets for a year. How did that work out? Emily.
Yes. So our photo editor, Luis Rios, actually had this idea, and he came up with it about 2 years ago, and it took a while to actually get it to come to fruition. We approached SAPD, and they said yes, but it took a little while to actually get all of the logistics figured out about who would be doing it and how often we would be going to the police department and exactly what the project would entail. But our vision for it was that, you know, a few years ago is when all of these officer-involved shootings started happening, both here locally and throughout the United States. And our editors really saw a need to look at the training process and make sure cadets are prepared for those situations, but also prepared to protect themselves in if need be.
And Lisa, so you were the photographer, an award-winning photographer at that, assigned to this. So you were out there for a year, and did you see things that you didn't expect?
Absolutely. I will admit I had never thought about what police officers go through in their training. And it was extremely educational. It was very active. I often thought maybe a sports photographer would actually be a better photographer for the job because it was that active, especially when they began their tactics training and we followed them through physical training, which was very intense. And I was always kind of in awe of how physical it was.
Yeah, we'll get into that because there's the physicality of it. I mean, you expect police officers, they've got a lot of expectations for that. Sergeant Tina Barron, can you tell us about the San Antonio, what the expectations are for people who sign up to become cadets?
Well, that's a huge question, but I'll speak more specifically to the training. So an SAPD cadet, as they come in, will go through 32 weeks of training with our police department. Regardless of their background, they could have a peace officer license and had already been working for another agency. But regardless, they will go through the entire 32-week program with us.
And when they show up, do these cadets think, yeah, I'm in pretty good shape. This is not going to be that much of a challenge for me. And then do they get an awakening?
I think that varies on the individual, but a good way to, I guess, kind of put it is there is a standard fitness to get into the training academy. That's a physical ability test, and you could find that online if you Google SAPDcareers.com and the physical ability test. So there is some standard that they begin with from the knowledge and going through that process. That in turn, though, once you come into the training academy, we have a very high standard, and that's our SAPD standard fitness evaluation, which is far more rigorous than the evaluation to get into the training academy. So you start with some knowledge, and our goal in training as it progresses is to turn that physical fitness into something that hopefully lasts throughout their career, and they have better knowledge of what they're physically capable of and sometimes what they didn't realize they were physically capable of.
What was really interesting to me was the makeup of the cadets who were in this class. And from the reporting, we learned that half were Latino, half were Caucasian, white, no African Americans. And that was interesting to me. And is that something that's being looked at, Sergeant Tina Barron?
Well, I would think that as a city and a department that we always want to be aware of our demographics and those that we serve so that we reflect them as much as we can. And I believe department-wide, we are very reflective of our demographics in the city, and that's one thing that we brag about at SAPD when we're recruiting and here at our department. So each class individually, though, if you look at the hiring process, we're at a point right now where if you're a qualified applicant, we can have you in our training academy within 6 to 8 weeks. So we have that many openings and we have that much need, certainly, but we're not necessarily picking or choosing. We're picking and choosing who's qualified. And we do, in our recruiting process, there are certain areas of town that we might spend a little more time in to hopefully help us with those demographics. We do have diversity recruiting events, women in policing, and a diversity in policing event that we've run over the last few years as well. And that does help us to get our image and word out in different demographics.
Right. No one's asking the San Antonio Police Department or anyone else to lower their standards for any particular demographic in order to reach some quota.
Correct.
That's just not going to work because there's
yes, sir.
You know, the criminals don't discriminate in that way. They're going to go at you full throttle, regardless of who's standing in front of them. So
well said, sir.
And so we got to have the best and the brightest, regardless of where they come from. But you know, so is this typical that there would be no African Americans in this class? Where are in other classes you have multiples and. You know, so this is unusual?
Yeah, I would say unusual. The classes that I've been here for, and I've been a supervisor here at the training academy for almost a year, and I was actually surprised to hear you give that demographic. So I was here for 17 Alpha for part of their training, not their entire training. I was essentially training under the sergeant that was here before me at that time as well. And the classes that have followed, we did not have that, I say, deficiency in that number.
Given the temperature of the nation today with questions of Black Lives Matter, you know, it would seem like, if I'm wondering if that's an issue here, maybe that's discouraging some people in the African-American community from stepping up now and saying, I want to become a San Antonio police officer, and maybe there's a messaging thing that has to be happening. I know that Police Chief McManus is very enthusiastic in trying to get everyone in the police department that he can, if they're qualified. It's just, I guess, a question of reaching out and recruiting from that community and making sure that people who are qualified, who are interested, say, yeah, I do want to give this a try.
Well, hopefully that's the message that we're coming across with, because that is certainly a goal.
Fantastic. So let me ask you, Emily Eaton, you were the criminal justice enterprise reporter for the San Antonio Express News, and you were the writer of this series talking about a making of a cop here in San Antonio. So when you saw these officers show up, were you there for the very first day?
Yes, we were, very briefly. So the first day, it was really interesting. There were a few cadets who had actually been in the academy before, but they were recycled. They call it recycling because they had an injury or something of that sort. So they came back on with a different class and began training with this 2017 Alpha class. So there were a few of them that already knew the rigors of the police department, and they were sitting in their chairs and they'd be whispering to each other, oh, you need to make sure that your right button is buttoned, or you need to have your notepad here, or you need to have your pin here. I mean, the uniform is very precise, and you can be reprimanded if it's not correct, if you don't have everything fully intact. Then Chief McManus came in and he gave a brief introduction to the cadets and told them what they would be going through over the next 32 weeks, that it would be very comprehensive and very challenging. And then Chief McManus left and they said, everyone get in the gym now. And the cadets run out the back door, across the courtyard, into the gym, and it's just craziness. You know, it's push-ups and sit-ups and everything you can imagine.
But they had to go gear up for the gym.
Yes.
And so there was some cacophony, I guess, in the changing room. They go out into the gym, and then it continues. It's part of almost like sort of a boot camp type of experience, something you might expect from an Officer and a Gentleman type of a movie, where they're really, you know, you're showing these cadets, this is for real.
Yes, exactly. You know, I can't speak for the police department, obviously, but I think, you know, they really want to make sure only the best of the best get to the actual force. And so it's very difficult, especially very early on. The physical and the mental requirements are very rigorous. And that first day definitely reflected it. You could just tell all these cadets were like, oh, my gosh, what is going on?
Right. So, Sergeant Tina Barron, since you're the recruiting sergeant for the San Antonio Police Department, I guess the attitude is that you're not doing anyone any favors if you cut anyone any slack in the process of becoming, being able to wear the shield. Is that right?
Well, so, David, I'm the cadet training supervisor, not the recruiting sergeant. By the way, I was
I'm sorry about that.
For a few months. Just to clarify. And absolutely, yeah, we don't want the first time a cadet, soon-to-be police officer, experiences a stress that could affect the way that they react or how they handle themselves. We don't want that first time to be out on the streets. We want them to learn here what that is like, and we want them to understand how to handle that in this controlled environment, if you will. The chaos is planned and created chaos so that they are experiencing that stress. And hopefully that is something that, you know, they take with them and understand that we want them to make their mistakes here, ultimately, is one of our goals. So those who experience this stress and they realize, you know, this is just too much or too intense and not something that is a good fit for them, we would much prefer they learn that here than on our streets with our citizens.
Right. So when a person gets under that stressed environment, they lose muscle control, they have tunnel vision, they can make bad decisions. The idea is to acclimate them through being in a high stress situation and being able to rely on their training and think clearly.
Yes, sir. That's true, and that stress level is going to vary because they're with us for several months, full 32 weeks in the classroom. We have a much more relaxed environment when we want them to learn more specifically for academics, and it fluctuates. And, you know, to be very honest with you, that's what police work is like. You'll have your moments and your times where just, you know, the day seems to drag on, and you have a lot of downtime, whereas, you know, any moment – you could get that one call that puts you in a high stress or critical incident.
A life and death situation.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Our phone lines are open. If you've got a question or a comment about the series, The Making of a Cop, that ran recently in the San Antonio Express News, and about the training academy for the San Antonio Police Department, the number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. And so there, at our academy in San Antonio, you guys do something different than most police academies, but the cadets are paid during the time and they receive benefits, Sergeant?
Yes, so they do have a pay rate as a cadet, which we are comparable to Austin, Dallas, and Houston as far as the pay rate for cadets. If you were to go to ACOG, which Alamo Area College, or SAC San Antonio College, for a peace officer license, you actually have to pay as though you're going to school. But we give credit hours here in our training academy, as well as pay the cadet to attend here.
And that makes a big difference. That helps people make that choice whether or not they can actually, because people have got to pay the bills.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, we get a lot of, prior military. We are Military City USA, so that helps us. The GI Bill is something that we also, the cadet, if they're coming through and they're eligible, they can get paid while coming to SAPD as well.
So Lisa, you were the photographer who took many of these photographs. Which one sticks out in your mind as the one that really tells the story?
Well, one situation was during their taser training. There's an image of Officer Jocelyn Alvarez, and they go through a scenario in their tactics village. They have a tactics village right there on site, which they use a lot, and they have to... She walks into the room. They're already stressed. You know, they're physically stressed outside. People are yelling at them. She goes inside and she has to navigate the scenario of a suicidal man, a man portraying being suicidal. It's one of the instructors. And she has to make a decision on whether to use the taser, whether to use her actual gun. And if she makes the wrong decision, the gun may be turned on her by the suicidal patient. And that's how it really hit home to me. And you can see on the expression on her face, what an intense situation. You have both one instructor yelling at her, one with the gun to his head. And you really see, you know, the kind of situation that they might be in and how life or death decisions can be made in just such a split second.
We're going to take a break now. We're going to go to our pledge drive for 5 minutes, then come back to talk about more about the making of a cop here in San Antonio. And we'll be hearing about, you know, what did it take to become a police officer with the San Antonio Finest. This is The Source. We'll be back in about 6 minutes. Stay tuned. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. To have the police department that you want, that the city deserves, that the city needs, it all starts at the training academy. It's all about recruiting the right people, helping them succeed, and weeding out those that probably shouldn't become police officers. It's not always a happy process. It's a process filled with tears, sweat, blood, a lot of anguish. But at the end of the day, we're trying to create a police department that will keep San Antonio safe and help us all go to bed and sleep soundly, but not always for our police officers. They work around the clock. So who are these people? Who signs up? Who decides, I want to be a San Antonio police officer? We're talking about that this afternoon. We're joined by Emily Eaton. She's a criminal justice enterprise reporter for the San Antonio Express News. Lisa Krantz is an award-winning photographer for the San Antonio Express News. And Sergeant Tina Brown is with the San Antonio Police Department. And you're invited into the conversation. The number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You could also email us at thesource@tpr.org. Got an email earlier asking this question, so if you could help us, Sergeant Barron, with this. I'd like to know more about what type and how much training recruits receive in nonviolent de-escalation of conflicts. And that was from Bonnie Carl. And so, Sergeant Barron, can you talk more about that?
So part of our de-escalation training that we do now for the cadets is involved in our tactics and some of our communications courses. So we don't have an actual class titled de-escalation, but it's involved in probably three or four of our topics that we do have. So what we are seeing, though, is a trend to give it a title and to give it an actual class number from the Texas Commission on Law Enforcement standards, which is something that we're expecting to have in the near future. So the state of Texas requires 643 hours of training for a peace officer license. At the city of San Antonio, we give our cadets around 1,330, depending on the hours and holidays and such for the cadet classes. So if you can imagine what the state standard is, we are far beyond that. We're always going to exceed that so that we get the best training out there. Now, one thing that we're also looking at doing in next year's in-service, which is when every officer on the department comes to training over next year, we will have a de-escalation class. We're doing that right now on Tuesdays in our in-service training. So that is something that we have a good handle on, something that we've really done for a lot of years. We just had different titles for it, maybe verbal judo at the time, that now we actually have labeled it as de-escalation.
SAPD has become a leader in this area in the state and has trained other police departments, right?
Correct, sir. We have our CIT team, our mental health unit, and they're very progressive compared to pretty much every agency in the state of Texas, and they do a lot of training locally as well. They put on a 40-hour week for crisis intervention training.
Emily Eatons, you're the Criminal Justice Enterprise reporter. You cover a lot of stuff. It's not just the training academy, a lot of police officer events. And so can you kind of talk about why you think that this question asked by our listener, I think a lot of people are thinking about that. Why do you think it's so important right now for our community to tune into the issue of de-escalation of conflicts with police officers?
It's certainly a topic that's been covered nationwide. When you interact with a police officer, you want to make sure that they're going to handle the situation in the best way possible. And I think one thing that really struck me, like Sergeant Barron was saying, is how interconnected everything is. So yes, there is no class that is specifically titled de-escalation, but it comes in with their mental health training, it comes with their tactics training, it comes with communication. All of these things are interconnected, and they definitely make sure and they emphasize to their cadets how important it is to de-escalate a situation. That is always the first and foremost goal in these scenarios. But one thing that really stuck out to me is you know, we went into this, like I was saying earlier, really wanting to take a look at police training and how the San Antonio Police Department tries to de-escalate these situations, but there have been an increasing number of attacks on police officers. And so one thing that struck out to me is how they are taught to de-escalate a situation while still making sure that they are protected and that they're not going to get hurt.
Right, and that's been some critics have charged that police departments, not here in San Antonio, but around the country, particularly in some high tension areas, that the police officers are kind of like an occupational force, and they're not really there to protect and to serve, but they're kind of there. And so we can see that there is a definite bent at SAPD to try to avoid that. And a lot of that happens from recruiting people who have actually lived life or had things that will provide them some level of sympathy with their community. I'm going to play a clip here that you provided. And this is Frank Lopez.
Growing up, my uncle got shot, you know, literally right down the block. Like, it was just shot in the leg. My dad passed away when I was 2. Over there in the west side, he got carjacked and he ended up getting stabbed to death. And those few reasons is why I wanted to serve and go back to the community, just to clean up stuff like that and prevent that from happening to anybody else.
Emily, can you tell us more about that story?
Yes, it's certainly very tragic. Frank was one of those, or Officer Lopez now, was one of those cadets who actually started off early with another class at the San Antonio Police Training Academy, and he hurt his shoulder, I believe. He dislocated his shoulder very early in the training, and he pushed through for something like 6 months or 7 months, and finally his doctor said, you have to have surgery, you can't keep going. So he went back with class 2017 Alpha. He had the surgery and went back with class 2017 Alpha, and he's now out with the rest of the San Antonio Police Department. But you could tell how dedicated he was. I mean, the training and the test and the physical requirements of the San Antonio Police Department are no easy task, and he basically had to go through it twice. And I think that's part of the reason why. You know, he was very young when his father passed away, and his uncle was affected by this too, and he felt a great need to go back out into the community and make sure those things don't happen.
The number to call in, if you've got a question or a comment about the San Antonio Police Department Training Academy, the number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. And Lisa Krantz, when you were the photographer out there, we saw a lot of sweat and some puking, you know, this is really hard training.
Yes, I think I missed a lot of the puking, actually. So
thank you for that.
But they did talk about the crawling through ant piles. They would have to do this drill where they would crawl on their bellies. Oh, and one time when they had to do somersaults and get up and run. And there were ants in that field. And there was mud in that field.
Because it would be in real life.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, who knows what they're going to be running through and jumping over and running under. Yeah, and then once they do all that, then they might have to be in a situation where they have to deal with the de-escalation or they have to deal with someone pointing a gun at them.
And so this was that part of Hell Day? What is Hell Day, Sergeant Tina Barron?
So Hell Day is a culmination of their training with the physical training staff. So the first probably 6 to 8 weeks, it's very strictly just physical fitness. So we're trying to get them physically fit enough to continue with the next few steps in training. From week 6 to 8, we start doing more of the hands-on with methods of arrest, and they start doing some combatives as well. So as you can imagine, when we want to be able to accelerate the training, we also want them stronger and healthier to be able to go through this. So as that progresses, we start coming to the end of the physical fitness and combatives training, and that's around week 20 to 21. And we have a final day that's called Hell Day. And part of Hell Day is there's 3 minutes of hands-on combatives with each other. Later on, we do it's a gas chamber, so they're exposed to CS gas. We do have gas masks that they practice training with in that environment so that they understand what their body is going to experience in case they're ever in a situation involving a gas exposure. And then you're hit with OC spray later in the day, which I can tell you personally was a very tough experience. And from, you know, my experience 18 years ago in the training academy with OC spray, I'd rather be hit with the taser, which I did also do, than OC spray.
Is that pepper spray?
It's pepper spray. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay.
So that all happens all in one day. So as that day progresses, you do various parts and pieces of the training. And then at the end of that day, it completes your training for the physical fitness and combatives portion. And then you go into what we call skills soon after that. And that's tactics, firearms, and driving, and close to graduating from there.
How many people do graduate of the people who signed up for this class? We said it was, 33 that start off, Emily?
38.
38 started off.
And 32 graduated.
Okay, so is there an evaluation of what happened to the people who don't make it, the dirty half dozen, Sergeant Barron?
So anybody who ends up leaving us for whatever their circumstance was, sometimes it's an injury and they may be eligible for the recycling program, and we do have rules on, you know, what that standard is. You may have somebody who just outright resigns and just doesn't want to be here anymore. Other people, I've personally been here when we fired people for different reasons. And that is with the cadet rules in mind. So we have essentially rules and regulations for the police department. We also have rules and regulations for the cadets. So that determines it. Now, if somebody's leaving us, and especially a resignation, we're going to sit down and kind of find out why and see what we could have done or they could have done to make them successful with the program. Sometimes it's just they realize that this is just not for them. And that actually, I believe, happened with 17 Alpha, and a very good young man in that class, decided to go back into teaching instead of being a police officer. But we would much prefer they realize that and learn that here. Our captain also does a final interview with them before they leave to kind of see where they were at as well. So we do track that, and we do pay attention to what that looks like from us and for us.
It seems like just getting into the cadet class is it's pretty high standards just to show up for that first day.
Absolutely. So the process to get in, which, as I said, could take 6 to 8 weeks for us, it's very fast compared to other departments, by the way, but it's a very rigorous process. So in the many steps of that process, I mean, one of the things that we tell the cadets early on is you did a lot to get here, so let's not mess that up, you know. So there are a couple of things I personally, I ask for accountability and I ask for commitment, because that's what it takes to get through this training academy. You've got to show up on time. You got to do the things that are asked of you. You have to help each other out, because there's no place for anybody to be an individual and not care about the people around them, because that's not the type of person we want out there on the streets taking care of our public. So there are a lot of things that we expect of them coming in, because they have been chosen and they qualified and they did the work to get here.
So the window of age that a candidate can be, it would be, a cadet could be, would be 20 to 45. 45, that seems, I mean, not to be ageist or anything, but that's you know, more generous than I would have thought. Do you really have people coming out there in their 40s becoming police officers for the first time?
Sure, it happens. I had a classmate who was in his early 40s when we came on 18 years ago, and he's still in the police department. He was a retired military. And we do see that. It is probably a little harder for them to recover from a lot of the PT training. I can say in my 40s, I feel it probably a little more than I did in my 20s. But yes, that if you're qualified and you're capable and you've got the right mindset, we're going to give you every chance and opportunity to meet that goal and be successful here.
We learned from reading the article in the Express News that the cadets will watch things like the Rodney King video. And what's the purpose of showing them that video, Sergeant Barron?
So I believe that video in particular was shown in an ethics class. And I think Emily said it well when she was quoting Sergeant McKay, who shows them the video. So we will do a lot of things to have a successful career. And why not also help your brother officer out in their successful career if they're doing something that's inappropriate or wrong, with stopping it? So that's part of your ethics as an individual and as a policing culture, because, as you know, we are policing in the culture and context of society throughout the United States, not just what happens in San Antonio. So we're very aware of that here in training. And there are events in society and history, not just in San Antonio, that have affected the way we police. And if we ignore that, then we're not challenging ourselves and we're not challenging each other to do the right thing.
Lisa Krantz, some of your photographs really show intimate moments of these people under a high-stressed environment. I was kind of surprised that they allowed you to capture those.
Yeah, when we started, I wasn't sure what I would have access to, but as it developed, they just allowed me to keep coming. And even I found it interesting on Hell Day, I thought specifically, you know, I'm really self-conscious thinking, oh, they're going to hate that I'm taking these pictures. And they were so immersed in what they were doing, they didn't realize I was there. Some of them later in the day, granted, they had had a very long day with a lot going on, said, oh, were you there for that? And granted, some of it was dark, so they wouldn't necessarily see me. But yeah, I mean, thankfully, they just let me do it. And hopefully they saw the value in it as I did.
And Emily Eaton, as you wrote your story of the making of a cop for the San Antonio Express News, you paid close attention to some of the female cadets, and they seemed like they were on a special journey.
Yes, they were. I think the cadets, there were six women, I believe, who started with this class and only and two ended up dropping out. And so these four women really had a very tight bond. And they also formed a tight bond with other female officers at the at the academy, including Sergeant Barron, because as we know, our police departments aren't always reflective of the female population. I know that the police department certainly tries to get more women on board with their women in policing events and things of that sort, but it's a small group at the San Antonio Police Department and at the academy, and so they really form this tight bond about how what they need to do to succeed at the San Antonio Police Department while also raising a family and doing everything else that you have to do.
Emily Eaton, she's the Criminal Justice Enterprise reporter for the San Antonio Express News. Also with us is Lisa Kranz. She's an award-winning photographer for the San Antonio Express News. For a year, they tracked cadets who were at the San Antonio Police Academy and showed us on their journey to success to becoming police officers. Also joined by Tina Barron, who is with the San Antonio Police Department. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thank you so much for tuning us in.